any sale of the land or other use of the land to allow for the exploration of alternative types of manufacturing abilities. And my interest is coupled not only with an intent to try to continue to provide a manufacturing job base in Minnesota, which clearly has been disappearing. It's not a secret to anybody as to the difficulties that manufacturing has faced, but also concerns over what's happened to the people in the plant and to try to provide access to jobs. You know, this legislature, every year we hear the rhetoric about jobs and the need to create jobs, the need to maintain jobs. We hear that whether we're talking about tax policy, economic development policy, education policy. And here we have people who've worked at this plant for years, who've been a significant part of our community and our state, who've been contributing to the state and the community. And I thought it important to try to continue to provide some opportunity, albeit limited, to try to maintain what they've put their life work into. This is an effort that, again, as I mentioned, has paralleled what's taken place in northeastern Minnesota. And I think the hope was to have Mr. Daniels, I believe, from the steelworkers present. He's not available. And Senator Tomasoni is going to, in effect, offer a little bit of testimony as well relative to what the experience has been in the northeastern part of the state. So, Mr. Chairman, as I mentioned, we've got a number of witnesses on both sides of the issue, and there'll be a chance for committee discussion. I certainly appreciate your scheduling this meeting and the committee members present. Given the last couple of weeks we've had and the multitude of committee meetings, let me turn it over to the witnesses so we can have some discussion about where the plant is, where those who've worked at the plant are, position of other interested labor organizations. And, Mr. Chairman, again, if you'd like to listen to the testimony, we'd be happy to present the witnesses. I hope. Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Did you wish to bring up your witnesses?
Yes. Let me ask. We've got maybe I could have the group of witnesses, Mr. Kleene, Mr. Quayle, Mr. Gerdsmeyer is here. And then, again, I want Senator Tomasoni to talk a little bit about his experience. So.
Okay, welcome, Mr. Gerdesmeyer and Mr. Bob Kleene, the good-looking Kleene. Yeah,
good-looking guy.
I know his brothers and sisters. Who is daddy?
Yeah, well, good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I am Bob Kleene, Jr. Many of you knew my father, who spent a lot of time down here working for the UAW. I'm the financial secretary of UAW Local 879. I've been doing that for 8 years, and I've worked for the Ford Motor Company in St. Paul for 30 years. I will be retiring from Ford in the next month or so, but about 1 year ago, Ford announced the closing of Twin Cities Assembly Plant, which had 1,800 people working in that plant, UAW, at that time. The members of that of our local and workers in that plant were obviously distraught about this decision because our quality and productivity at Ford and of all the North American auto plants has always been near the top. In the year 2000, the employees at the Ford Motor Company in St. Paul won the Harbor Award for the most productive auto assembly plant in North America. That includes the Japanese, General Motors, everybody. Our quality has always been near the top. We have won numerous J.D. Power Awards. So our members were quite taken aback when our plant was announced to be closing. We had 1,800 members. We currently have 900 people working in the plant. They have expressed to us a desire that we try and find some form of alternate manufacturing in that plant, try to keep some of them workers working. We approached Senator Cohen about our bill for a two-year period where we could keep that plant in a saleable condition with the hopes of bringing in another manufacturing, whether it be auto, any kind of equipment. That's our hope today that we can do that. We are working with a group of individuals who have made a electric They're going to want to make an electric Ford Ranger. This is a Ranger that would run on an electric transmission hooked to the manual transmission with an electric motor. We are confident we can get this vehicle produced and on the road by the time the state fair comes around, and we will have that vehicle at the state fair. We will have it in city parades, county parades. We will show that vehicle across the state. What can be done? We also plan to do this with a Ford F-Series. A lot of times the auto manufacturers have to be dragged along kicking and screaming into the new technology that's out there. We intend to do this. We're not sure Ford can handle a cleanup of that site for what the city proposes down there for condominiums and residential housing. Ford's track record on cleanups is terrible. In Edison, New Jersey, 9 communities are currently affected by polluted highways. The concrete from the building was pulverized and made into concrete and poured across communities in New Jersey. They have a terrible problem, and there's actually legislation in the State House to rectify this problem of polluted PCB-encrusted highways. In Mahwa, New Jersey, Ford is the only company in the history of the Superfund to have the same site placed on the Superfund list twice. They have not been honest about their cleanup efforts, and I don't think they will be here. With that, Chairman, thank you.
Mr. Killeen, you kind of mentioned, I thought you said housing and condos. Has that been determined? Most of us, at least I would hope that some kind of manufacturing, whether it be cars or what have you, happens on that site. But you did mention housing and condos, and I don't know if that's been determined or what the zoning is today.
We have a representative sitting on the mayor's task force for the site, and I believe there was 15 proposals. 3 of them included some form of manufacturing, I believe, was the figure. And it didn't indicate, or he didn't indicate, that they were really held in a high priority, the manufacturing aspect of it.
Well, I don't personally like to hear that. I think we got all those wonderful jobs here now, and I would like to see jobs on that site continued on, because the neighborhood and everybody else is kind of used to that use of the property. But that's my bias, that it should be jobs. And there's jobs created when you do housing and condos, but that's certainly a one-time usually deal, and they don't last forever. But Phil, did you wish, or Mr. Gertesmeyer? Mr. Gertesmeyer, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Don Gertesmeyer, and I work for Teamsters Joint Council 32, who is either the guiding force or the affiliated with all the Teamster locals in the state of Minnesota, Iowa, and North and South Dakota. So that's a bit of a change, and I have to stumble over my new title thing there. So, the UAW asked us if we'd come down and lend our voice to theirs on Senate File 607. And this is such a contentious, tough issue that we were glad to do that. Before the last 8 or 9 years, where I come down and spend my days with you folks, I ran a Teamster Local Union for 24 years and was principal officer of that organization. And I can tell you from personal experience, there is nothing tougher for a business agent or a labor official than to deal with a group of folks that have lost their job. And the better the job and the higher the fringes, the harder they are to replace. So, Bob Killeen eloquently has laid it out for you, and our voice added to his is that, you know, see what you can do to help these folks. Once that land is developed into housing or whatever, it won't ever again be manufacturing. So if there's a way to help these UAW folks, we'd certainly like to see you do that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Phil? Senator Bach, excuse me.
Mr. President, Senator Cohen, I think you missed the Rules Committee today, but Senator Metzen was there, and there was some concern expressed on a number of people in the Rules Committee about the idea of late bills coming in front of rules, and there needs to be some reason that bills are being heard late. And I, from the discussion I heard today, Senator Metzen, I think there was a pretty strong consensus in the Rules Committee that the Rules Committee wouldn't be considering these kind of things that just came late unless there was some unusual reason, like in the case of Senator Clark's bill that was referred back to Senator Scheid's committee, left her committee, went to Judiciary, was referred back. There were some very extenuating circumstances with Senator Clark's bill today. But Senator Cohen, I don't think you were part of that discussion, but there was an awful lot of concern by members who have served on the Rules Committee longer than me that really the intent of the deadlines is that bills are dead if they don't meet the deadlines, and there is not really a procedure where bills get an opportunity to be heard late and just use the Rules Committee as the facilitator to then get them to the floor. That's not really the intent of the provision in the rules allowing a late bill to use the Rules Committee as their vehicle. So, Senator Cohen, I don't think you were there, but members who have been on that committee a long time expressed some concern about doing what I think we're about to do.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Bach, no, you're correct. I wasn't there. I had a series of meetings set up with all the finance chairmen. In fact, the gentleman to your right was in my office earlier today. And we had these meetings scheduled from, I think, last week to talk about the establishment of targets for all the finance bills. So I had to give that priority as opposed to the Rules Committee meeting, which was scheduled yesterday. And actually, that's illustrative that I think with some of the confusion over deadlines, we have had some problems. And I've been on the Rules Committee for, I think, at least 10 years and certainly have been sympathetic. But there are issues, one, depending on the urgency of the issue, two, depending on where the process is, where we have allowed the Rules Committee to sort through what's appropriate, what's not. Mr. Chairman, it's not my intent to get into to lay blame, that would be the wrong phrase, but to look at where we've done this on other occasions. And Senator Bach, I know from our conversation, and you're not enthused about the proposal as such, but we have now coming into the legislature a proposal for a Viking stadium. And how many times have we seen the legislative process overturned for stadium issues over the years? And we're going to do it once again with the Viking stadium. But if we're going to be consistent, you know, we should have done it at any time. So in this instance, you know, I talked to Senator Metzen about the ability to have a hearing and felt that given the urgency, given the fact that we do have, you know, potentially a couple thousand jobs at stake, people's lives at stake, that we should at least have an opportunity to be heard by this policy committee and then see where things are in the process.
Well, Senator Metzen, Senator Cohen, I don't have a problem moving the bill to rules. I'm just expressing some serious concerns that were raised there today about exactly what we're about to do, that you might have some heavy lifting going in the Rules Committee.
And Mr. Chairman, Senator Bach, I understand that, and I'll talk to the Chairman of the Rules Committee and other members relative to that. And again, I don't know if Senator Metzen, if you were at the Rules Committee meeting, again, I was meeting with all the finance chairmen all day, and I just had to give that priority.
Senator Metzen, did I express the conversation that happened today accurately?
You were right on. Yeah, absolutely. Why? But here we are today. We're going to hear it and see what happens, Senator Bach. But I do concur with kind of the way some of the things have been done an hour ago in the Rules Committee. But here we are. And this is a very important bill, and I decided that that we're going to hear it today. So do you have another witness, Bill?
Yes, Mr. Phil, President. Yeah. Senator, committee members, thank you very much. I'm Philip Qualley with United Transportation Union. We have approximately 1,200 members in the state of Minnesota. And we just wanted to weigh in support of this bill. At issue for us with the Ford manufacturing site is we have approximately 40 jobs that support that plant and that manufacturing site that could potentially be lost if manufacturing ceases there. We also want to voice our concern that for regional commerce, whenever you have the loss of major manufacturing sites, for the railroad corporations, the carriers that plan regional investments and capital investments in tracks and corridors of mainline track, if you lose the revenue on those corridors, you lose the investment. You have deferred maintenance can build up over time. Your track speeds for territories and corridors can drop. And that affects all commerce moving in the state and the competitive nature of moving by rail. So we'd like to ask you to respectfully keep in mind that whenever we lose manufacturing sites, it has a ripple effect on different sectors and other parts of the economy. So we, again, support this bill. I'd also like to mention, as far as the brownfield site that was just mentioned, you will have a brownfield issue, I believe, at that rail yard. The railroads have operated there for years. It's been our committee's office experience, and in our files we see where rail lines are abandoned, you will find brownfield issues. And quite frankly, without going out too far on a limb, I'm concerned about, has anyone asked any questions about the conditions of these tunnels underneath the plant in that portion of St. Paul? And if Ford leaves that territory, has anybody asked questions about what happens with that environmental piece? We certainly support the continued manufacturing of automobiles there and hope that the UAW and manufacturing is there for a long time. But if it's not cars, you know, I just want to bring a couple thoughts to mind. Future manufacturing. We're on the frontier of an environmental movement, and we could be manufacturing environmental equipment at this site. Mm-hmm. Wind generating, but particularly what the railroad industry is concerned about is coal scrubber and clean coal technology products. And I would be remiss if I did not mention, and I don't want to play a passionate card here, but our country is at war. And if we look at the big picture here, we're talking about possibly shutting down a manufacturing site when we need more equipment in the field. CNN just reported, and I've included in my packet, that there is a vehicle that has been designed called a Cougar that has been reported to be IED-proof. And CNN reported a few weeks ago that the U.S. military cannot get these vehicles fast enough. I'm well aware that my family and other people's proponents and opponents of this bill also have family in the war effort in Iraq right now. But if Ford's pulling out, how is it that we can let a major manufacturing plant not be reviewed for retrofitting to help our country in a time of war? So I just leave you with that thought. I would respectfully submit that I hope this committee will take a conservative approach to this site and that you would pass this bill and give us a couple of years to protect manufacturing in the state of Minnesota. Thank you, Mr. President and Senators.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
I think everybody, hopefully, at the committee shares the witnesses' concerns that we create some jobs on that site going forward. Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This legislation, yeah. Or this.
Was there any questions of the three witnesses? Okay, you.
Well,
Senator Scheid.
I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt.
Go ahead.
Senator,
no, that's
Tomasoni,
fine.
Going to ask
I
a question?
Misspoke.
No.
I should have allowed the committee members to ask questions.
I was just going to make a comment, so.
Mr. Chairman, and frankly, it might be a question for Senator Cohen as well, but I'm wondering what we know of that Ford is doing so far. Have they indicated? I think there's still some. Some trucks there, aren't they?
Yeah, I think maybe the witnesses coming forward will tell us what they're doing
okay.
And the progress
okay.
They're making.
Okay.
So maybe
you're
going to wait on your
Thank
question
you.
For them. I think
Thank
that'd
you.
Be appropriate. Senator Tomasoni, did you have a?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I think you made a really good point before when you talked about whether or not we're going to have manufacturing on this site again and whether or not we should do something in order to keep manufacturing on this site. This particular piece of legislation is modeled after legislation that we passed specifically for the taconite industry. And what happened on the Iron Range was back in about 1985 or 86, Butler Taconite was closed. And within months of the closure, the plant was completely disassembled, and it was impossible for anybody to restart that plant because it wasn't there anymore. And So what we did was we passed some legislation that is virtually the same as this, but referring to taconite plants. And in 93, National Steel closed in Keewatin. And we think that had it not been for the legislation that was passed, that National Steel would have been disassembled also, and another 600 or 700 jobs would have been removed from the Iron Range, and that plant would not be operating. As a result, that plant is operating today. Eveleth Tac closed down. I think they would have disassembled that plant. It is operating today. The LTV plant, which is not operating today but is still there, could potentially be used for the new polymet non-ferrous jobs that we're talking about developing on the Iron Range. And I believe if it weren't for this legislation, that plant would not be there either, and the possibility of the polymet construction would not be there either. So because of the way economies go up and down and boom and bust, and this, we experience it all the time on the Iron Range, and Senator Day always comments about how it goes up and down there and how we're different than everybody else. But this is one of those type of things that could potentially be one of those boom and bust things. And who knows if what Mr. Qualley and everybody was just talking about here for the electric cars or whatever the next generation of vehicle is, if suddenly within a year or two one of these auto companies decides that they're going to start developing these cars in Minnesota. If this plant is disassembled and removed, we won't have the opportunity to get those jobs back into Minnesota. And so I think that just by the very fact that there's potential to have something happen in the very near future, it's worth it to at least save this thing for a couple of years and try and see what can possibly happen. If in 2 years then there is no potential whatsoever to develop something at that site, then go ahead with something new. But it's definitely worth trying to save these jobs or develop new jobs on this site. And so the experience that we've had on the Iron Range is that we have two plants operating now that we believe might have been decommissioned and disassembled had it not been for this legislation. And the mining industry is actually in a boom area right now, and things are going very well, and all of those plants are operating. And I'm fairly certain that had we not done this legislation, we might not be experiencing what we're experiencing now.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Letts.
Can we get a copy of the statute that
I've got it right here.
Talking about?
Yeah, I'm looking at it, and one of the difference might be in Section 93003, an irreplaceable natural resource. I wonder if that's different than what we're dealing with today, but that's just an observation. I don't know I assume what we're doing is legal. I'm not sure of that, though.
I don't think so.
I don't know if we could. But that's a question that we'll get a copy of. So that might be a difference. And I'm not throwing cold water on anything, but I want the jobs at that site, let me tell you that, for the third or fourth time. Senator Bach.
I should make a comment in support of trying to give people some time to redevelop this as some kind of a manufacturing facility, because I did see this law work at LTV. When LTV went down, they were subject to this or a similar provision in state law. And what ended up happening was when the LTV assets were bought out of bankruptcy, there were two bidders coming out of bankruptcy. One was a joint bid between Cleveland Cliffs, which is a mining company on the range. They had a joint bid with Minnesota Power, who owned a power plant. The other competing bid for the assets was a salvage company. And the salvage company's bid, and I can just tell you, members of the range delegation weighed in heavily through the Attorney General's office to try and make sure that an existing mining company that might someday utilize those assets was the successful bidder. And it did turn out that way. But if the salvage company had got the bid, all of LTV certainly would have all been parted out and sold off by now, and that plant would be gone. But that plant is still there. It's been, to a small degree, cannibalized. But an existing mining company owns that today, and it does look like potentially that could restart as a non-ferrous mining operation, with basically all of its crushing and grinding and concentrating equipment, about $500 million worth of equipment, still sitting there in place. And if the salvage company had gotten the bid, that stuff would have all been parted off and sold. It's big equipment. It would have been sold all over the world because there's really nothing wrong with it. It's very expensive stuff. Now, we haven't been successful yet, but the law, I think, was successful in kind of deterring the salvage company some and making sure that an actual mining company ended up with the property. So that's what happened in the case of LTV. I think the law actually worked, and we haven't maybe totally benefited from it yet to the degree the state could, but we've bought some time with it. And now whether there's some way to be successful with a manufacturing plant, I don't know. It might be more difficult. But I just wanted to share with you what happened in a case where this law, I believe, actually benefited the state and certainly benefited the range and benefited a mining company that has a lot of investment in Minnesota rather than an out-of-state salvage company that would have taken it all down. And the value of scrap steel is these days is very valuable. So these kind of projects are very valuable to scrap companies. There's a lot of steel in a lot of these old buildings. So salvage-type companies have a lot of interest in these kind of facilities. I just wanted to express that to the committee so that you understand kind of the range take on why, you know, sometimes things like this can work. And I would wish, if the bill passes into law, Senator Cohen, I'd wish everybody good luck in trying to relocate manufacturing there, where these kind of jobs are slipping away from not only the state but from our country. And
yes,
I'm not sure we can get there, but I certainly would hope to be able to get there.
Senator Latz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wonder if council knows or if anyone knows if there was any litigation over the law that was relating to the taconite plants, and if so, what the outcome of that was, any appellate court decisions. And there was one question, you know, is what we're doing lawful? And I guess that might give us some guidance on the question, too.
Ms. Zellner, do you have a thought on this? Did you?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I briefly looked at the MSA.
Okay, I think
at some point we may want to look beyond Minnesota decisions. I can't imagine we're the first state to consider placing substantial restrictions on the sale or use of property. And no amortization of existing uses is lawful. But
okay, I think without objection, we'll thank you, Phil. Hear from the opponents. We have Mary Culler, is it? And Cecil Bedore. Cecile Bedore and Mark Moeller. Welcome to the. Are you the jewelry guy?
That is me.
I saw you at the car wash a couple weeks ago. I think you. There couldn't be two handsome guys like you around. There could be another one, but welcome to the committee. And
thank
who, Ms. Culler, did you wish to?
Sure.
Cooler?
That's me.
That's you. Okay, hi.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Mary Culler, and I'm the Director of Governmental Affairs for Ford Motor Company. I'm here to testify in opposition of Senate Bill 607, which would place a moratorium on the sale of property owned by Ford Motor Company. I want to begin by reiterating how difficult the decision was to idle the Twin Cities Assembly Plant in St. Paul. As we align our production capacity with consumer demand, we unfortunately have been forced to take some very difficult and painful decisions, and idling the plant here was obviously one of those decisions. We feel these actions are critical to ensuring a successful turnaround of our business in North America and ensuring a viable future for Ford Motor Company. I don't think it's any secret that we're at a critical juncture in our company's history. We recognize the impact that Ford Motor Company has on the communities in which we operate, and when we leave the community, we want to ensure a positive legacy by returning the property to productive use as quickly as possible. We work cooperatively with cities to determine their needs, and we lay the framework for future development. This is our strategy for our decommissioned plants. However, in this community, we are doing something very unique, and I think we're very proud of the progress that we've made to date, and Cecile will fill you in on the specific details. But we have been working very closely with the City of St. Paul. We are members of the Ford Site Planning Task Force, which was created by the city way in advance of this particular legislation even coming ever being introduced. And the reason the city created this was because they understand that there is a huge opportunity here with this particular site. whether it be manufacturing, whether it be a mixed-use development. It's a huge site, over 230 acres, and so a lot of time and effort has to be taken in understanding what the best use for this particular site is. As a member of the task force, we are very eager to hear from the community what their interests are in this property, what the city's interest is in this property, what labor's interest is in this property, and whether it be, as I said, strictly manufacturing, residential, retail, office, industrial, a mix, or several uses, we feel the task force process is a very important part of this particular development. We believe, obviously, that any future development is a local one. The City of St. Paul has ultimate authority regarding the future of this site through its control of zoning and site planning approval processes. That's why we're committed to the task force process. With the support and guidance of city staff, consultants, property owners, and community members, the task force is absolutely the appropriate forum to evaluate redevelopment scenarios. A moratorium on the sale of this property takes control away from the city's established economic redevelopment process and, frankly, infringes on personal property rights. We do feel, frankly, that this is more than likely unconstitutional. More importantly, it could impact the City of St. Paul incredibly negatively. If we wait to see what kind of manufacturing or other type of redevelopment could take place there until 2010, we're going to have lost a lot of valuable time. I mean, the whole idea of starting the task force process now is so that when, in fact, the plant closes in 08, we'll be ready to move forward with some kind of redevelopment, and I think that's really important. You know, the other thing that I think is really critical here is that it frankly sends a very negative message to any future buyer or interested party in this particular property. I'm not sure what kind of business is going to want to come into the City of St. Paul if they know that ultimately the state can place a moratorium on what they do with their own personal property in the future. And we have actually had people who have been interested in this site question us about the moratorium and what potentially the outcome of that might be. So it's clearly on people's radar screen. The Twin Cities Assembly Plant has been a proud member of the St. Paul community over 80 years, and we want to preserve that positive legacy through the site's redevelopment. By participating in the Site Planning Task Force, we can ensure the property is transformed into productive redevelopment that will serve the community for future generations. I strongly ask that members of this committee allow the Ford Site Planning Task Force to proceed as we are currently doing and not support Senate Bill 607. Thank you.
Would you, at least for my benefit, talk about the makeup of the task force and who's on it and how many members. Are we going to get to that? Okay.
I'm happy to do that. Would you like me to do that now or give you my comments first?
You can do whatever way you want.
Okay. Maybe I'll fold it in here.
In here, sir? Okay. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. Again, my name is Cecile Bedore, and I'm the Director of Planning and Economic Development for the City of St. Paul. And thank you again for the opportunity to speak with you today on this bill. While some have viewed the closing of the St. Paul Ford plant as simply the unfortunate result of market forces, I want to echo Mayor Coleman's appreciation of how tragic this closing is to all the UAW workers at that plant and their families. For the past 80 years, the employees of Ford have been good neighbors and good friends, and the plant has been of great benefit to our city. The companies, its employees, and all of St. Paul would much rather see Ford in a position of expanding production rather than scaling back. It should be said, too, that it hasn't been lost on us, the local UAW 879 members, their work to try to prevent the closure of this plant. They really did work hard to come up with some innovative ideas to help this plant remain productive and competitive in the worldwide automotive marketplace. Many of their ideas were implemented and have kept the plant open as the last remaining ranger plant in the United States, and those efforts should not go unnoticed. Unfortunately, their efforts simply could not turn the tide of the economy in the U.S. auto industry. And while everyone in the city would prefer to have this plant remain open, we feel we must acknowledge the fact that the plant will be idled in 2008 and will close, assuming that such closure is approved by the national or international UAW. When we did learn of Ford's intention to cease manufacturing in St. Paul, we immediately engaged the company in discussions to see if there was anything that we could do to help prevent the closure. When it became clear that the closing was inevitable, we shifted our discussion with Ford to replanning for the reuse of the site. Since that time, the city has acted to ensure two things. First, that any reuse will, in fact, include a significant number of very good-paying jobs and an increase in our tax base. And secondly, that a thorough, very thorough, broad-based community planning process would be completed and any comprehensive plan and zoning changes would be made and complete by the time the plant closes. Our city leaders feel it's their responsibility to prepare the Highland Park community and all of St. Paul for the loss of these jobs and the loss of the tax base that will occur when Ford departs. And as a matter of fact, we're the only city, as Mary mentioned, that is doing this kind of work. Most of the other cities across the country are kind of sitting back and waiting to see what happens. But the city of St. Paul has been very active because we are quite concerned about the loss of these jobs, and we do want to make sure that there are additional jobs that are set up there. We have set up a very aggressive timeline with our planning because we want to make sure that we direct what actually happens on that site and ensure that our strategic goals are met, with a keen understanding that what we envision can actually be realized in the marketplace. Our schedule is on the second page of your handout, and there you'll see that our goal of identifying 3 to 5 development scenarios should be complete by June of 2007. In their continuing partnership with us, Ford will then contract for an alternative urban-wide review, which will compare the impacts of each scenario regarding traffic and environmental factors such as wastewater flows, stormwater runoff, et cetera. The results of the AUAR, which is somewhat replaces an environmental impact statement, will help the task force and subsequently the policymakers to select a preferred scenario, which may then lead to changes in zoning and the comprehensive plan. And we're on schedule to have all of this work done by fall of 2008 when the plan is idle. We are certain that we can meet this aggressive timeline, and again, our goal is to have this critical and necessary work complete so that once the site is sold, a developer can move forward quickly to implement our redevelopment plan and restore jobs and restore tax base. We simply cannot afford any delay, which could potentially result in any lost opportunities that may arise for these critically needed tax base to the city and new good-paying jobs. As you all know, like many cities in Minnesota.
Senator Bach, why don't you let her complete your.
Okay. Yeah. Like many cities in Minnesota, St. Paul has significant budget challenges. We believe we have to be aggressive and do all we can to ensure we have the revenue necessary to provide services our city and our city residents require. The bill before you would stop any redevelopment on the site and require that the plant be maintained in its current condition until the fall of 2010, in the hope that another auto manufacturer would purchase the plant and begin operations. While that could happen, it's a big risk for the city if it doesn't. If this bill were to become law and the effort to find another auto manufacturer or any manufacturer at all for that entire site failed, it could be 2012 or later until any redevelopment of the site happens. So we're talking 4 years at least before there would be one job on that site again. With our current schedule, we'll be ready for a redevelopment plan when the site ceases operations in the fall of 2008. The plan for these acres will include, again, the creation of good jobs. In our first large community meeting, several attendees expressed interest in exploring the potential of locating green manufacturing company on the site, and we will look close at those and other manufacturing options as well. The mayor has said over and over again that we simply cannot dream big enough. The site is on the Mississippi River. It's 7 minutes from the International Airport. It's centrally located. It has access to a large green power source, and it's one of the finest neighborhoods in the United States. We have the responsibility and the authority to determine the use of the site, and we and the members of our citizen task force take this responsibility very seriously. I want to say, too, that at our last task force meeting, where the task force is they have probably met about 6 times. This last time, they just reviewed some different concepts, if you will. They weren't proposals. They weren't which one do you want to do, and we're going to move forward with that, but rather what shape could this site take? And manufacturing is one of those, and the mayor has made it very clear that that is one of his goals, is to have manufacturer jobs on that site. So I want to be clear that the task force in no way is at a point right now where they're going to propose some development scenarios. We spent a lot of time putting together the charge of this task force, the mayor did with Ford, to make sure that folks understood what his goals were, which were first and foremost jobs, tax base, sustainable development, cutting-edge urban design, to make sure that this really fit into the fabric of the neighborhood and would really address the loss of this jobs and tax base for the city. We had over 100 people apply to be on our task force, which is unprecedented for the city, and we have had a lot of people spending a lot of hours to date on our task force, bringing a lot of their expertise. Our meetings last anywhere from 2 to 3 hours. We meet every other Monday. So there's a significant amount of energy and effort that our citizens are putting into this task force, and I would really hate to see that time and that energy lost as we move forward. Again, I really appreciate the opportunity to address you today.
Did we talk about it? I'm trying to think of the makeup of the committee. Is it 20? Did I hear 23?
24 members of the task force.
And are there labor members on there, and how many?
We have 2 labor members. We have 1 member from
just
the
two out of 23?
Okay. Well, we have one member from UAW. We had another labor, I think he was an attorney that represented some folks.
Well, they don't count, do they? For, you know, that, yeah. I guess they count.
I will say that that we didn't get any applications.
No offense to the senator last night.
Just to clarify, though.
Real United Auto Workers
yes, right.
on the committee, not the.
Even a labor lawyer doesn't count, huh?
Just to clarify, we did not receive any other applications from labor representative to serve on the task force, including anybody from UAW, and we subsequently appointed somebody from the UAW to serve on it. So it wasn't as if the city did not appoint somebody. We also have a large business makeup. We've got planners. We've got architects. We've hired EDAW. We've executed a significant planning contract with EDAW of Colorado, who redeveloped the Staples Airport in Denver, to really help guide this process and ensure, again, that it fits within the fabric of the city and meets those other goals that I've already talked about.
Fortunate that, to my way of thinking, that the labor people are the ones that are really getting hurt in this area and that they're are in the fold, so to speak. Mr. Moeller. Senator Bach, excuse me.
Chairman, before you move on, Ms. Budor, I counted 6 times I heard you say that the city's goal is to increase the tax base by the redevelopment of this property. What assurances can you give to the tax chair that this isn't going to end up some big TIF district for redevelopment or soil corrections or whatever reason, or maybe a special TIF of some kind for this, because if it really is to expand the tax base, I really in the future would look pretty seriously whether Senator Cohen would want to carry a TIF bill for the redevelopment here. What kind of assurance can you give me you're not going to come forward with some TIF proposal to the legislature if it is really about expanding the tax base?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Chair, Senator. What assurance can I provide for you? I can tell you that the mayor's number one goal right now in our budget session here is to figure out how we can provide services to our citizens. The mayor feels that this site is such a prime location that it should not require assistance from the city to do that. Could things change, for example? For example, if we had a manufacturer come and say, hey, we can provide 1,000 jobs on this site, paying this much, but we need some significant assistance from the city to do that, would the mayor and the council step back and consider that? Potentially. I mean, as you all know, there are different variables that you weigh in terms of what the benefits would be. But the mayor has stated that he feels that this site should be able to be redeveloped without any tax assistance.
Would you tell the mayor for me that I support that?
Yes, Mr. Senator.
Because I agree. It's a very valuable piece of land, and it shouldn't need to be TIF'd to be redeveloped. Mm-hmm. And I, too, would like to see the tax base of St. Paul expand. But other property owners in the city shouldn't have to pay for the redevelopment of a very valuable piece of land.
Okay. Mr. Moeller.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Metzen and members of the committee. For the record, as Senator Metzen said, and my name is Mark Moeller. I'm CEO of R.F. Moeller Jeweler. It's the longest-run family business in the Highland area. We've been there for over 50 years. I'm also a member of the St. Paul Area Chamber of Commerce, and I chair its Ford Business Advisory Group. With there being many new members of the legislature, I'd just like to take a moment to tell you just a little bit about the chamber. The St. Paul Area Chamber has nearly 2,000 members, and it's Minnesota's largest local chamber. Its primary service area includes not only St. Paul, but many communities in the East Metro area. The Chamber is a very active member of the community and takes a lead role of representing the voice of its members wherever appropriate. As such, we work with the Highland Business Association to convene the Ford Site Business Advisory Group to provide a business perspective on the future development of the site. We, like others, were deeply disappointed with the news that the Ford plant closure We do not like to see the loss of well-paying manufacturing jobs in our community. And I can tell you personally, it's had a detrimental effect on my business. But in fact, we agree with the goal of the bill, which is to keep jobs in our community. But this tactic, state legislation, is simply the wrong way to go about reaching that goal. Times change, the marketplace changes, we have to adapt. Because of the closure, there's an opportunity for redevelopment that is rarely seen at this scale in an urban area should Ford close and choose to sell the land. At this point, we need to keep all our options open. Passing legislation that requires Ford to keep its plant in operating condition for 2 years will stall efforts in finding the next highest and best use to the property. We need to start planning now so redevelopment can move forward in a timely manner when and if Ford sells. Generally, we believe that moratoriums are not good public policy. Such actions do nothing more than to postpone the inevitable. And it sends a very negative message to potential developers and job creators, which we've heard from Ford already. We also remember to respect the rights of the landowner. The legislation, if passed, would tie the hands of the property owner, a result that usually does not sit well with citizens who have historically strongly valued the rights of property owners. For these reasons, the St. Paul Area Chamber of Commerce stands in opposition to this bill. We urge you not to move this bill forward. Let the marketplace do its job. Thank you for allowing me to appear before you today, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
All right, any questions of the witnesses here?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And for Ms. Is it Color?
Color.
Color. Just a little more background, if you would. I know Ford has been through a tough couple years, and you used the term decommission. Can you give us a little perspective here as far as nationally? How many plants are you going through with this decommission, or maybe we use another term, but...
Mr. Chair, thank you, Senator.
That's the polite term, decommission.
Yeah. Decommission, yes.
It means losing your jobs or closing down.
Right.
Oh, probably, okay.
We're closing approximately 10 facilities nationwide. Some of them are manufacturing facilities. Some of them are stamping facilities, stamp parts. The reality is that the days are gone that you make one product in one plant. Now you have to make at least, you know, 3 to 4 to 5 products in one plant to really be successful. So what's happening is we use one platform to make, you know, 5 different products. And so the reality is, to stay competitive, we have to close plants across the country. We have too many of them. GM is going through the same thing. Daimler Chrysler is going through the same thing. The only folks not going through that, of course, are our competitors from overseas, such as Toyota and Honda, because they haven't been in this country as long as we have. So 10 currently, and St. Paul is one of them.
And
Senator
Mr. Chair,
Michelle.
Ms. Kuller, have you encountered this kind of legislation in any of the other 10 plants? How about ever?
Never, actually. We've never encountered this in any of the communities in which we have decided, unfortunately, to idle and close a plant. And as I referenced earlier, we actually were very excited about the process that we have undertaken with the city of St. Paul, because it's incredibly unique that we're going through this task force process. And it was very disappointing to see that, you know, while this very robust process was being set up and we were all very much looking forward to a very good positive outcome, that this legislation came about to place a moratorium, you know, on the sale. And that was disappointing.
Are you active? Have a representative at the meetings, a 24-member meetings?
Yes, we have a member on the task force, a Ford member on the task force, yes.
And Mr. Chairman?
Senator Latz first.
Ms. Culler, what's the level of Ford's commitment to the task force process? Has Ford signed anything saying, you know, wait till the task force process is done before you make any decisions about the site, or a commitment to go to the task force if there are any offers on the site, anything like that? Or right now, is it just sort of we're making a commitment, but it's verbal and not binding in any way?
We don't have a formal contract with the city of St. Paul, but we feel like we have an incredibly good working relationship and a good relationship with the mayor and with other folks in his office. We have had some interest in the site, with which we've shared with the mayor about the interest that we've received. You know, the reality is that I think we all agree that this task force process is by far the best process, that we should all be going through it up until the end, so that we can, in fact, you know, make sure that whatever development occurs there is, in fact, the appropriate one for the community and for the city.
That's better. Do you agree with that?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I do. When Ford announced in April of last year, it was shortly thereafter that we engaged Ford in conversations, which led to having biweekly conference calls with Ford. And we feel, and the mayor feels, the mayor has calls with Mr. Gardner, who is the head of Ford Land, and he has, and Mr. Gardner calls me regularly as well, just to keep us up to date about what's going on, and has reaffirmed a couple of times. And I will say, I've had a couple of calls, frankly, with Mr. Gardner, and said, I really need, again, your assurance that this is, you're really committed to this process, and you'll see it through. Because rumors fly all over the place. And he is right. They have been real straight shooters with us from day one. I mean, nobody's happy about the closure of this plant at all. I mean, Ford would like to be competitive, I would imagine, you know, and keep these things going. So we don't anticipate any changes happening. And when the mayor calls, they pick up the phone immediately. And when there's something they think the mayor needs to hear, they call the mayor right away. So it's been a very open, consistent, ongoing communication that we think will continue.
You know, somebody kind of mentioned earlier about the state's involvement here. This is not just a St. Paul issue. This is a statewide significant issue. That's why we're looking at it. We've done things with Medtronic, Mall of America, Iron Range projects. They're not just affecting those towns. So that's why we're listening today and talking about this. I mean, you're talking about what used to be 1,800 jobs, now down to 900, but they're very critical to a lot of these members live in my district down the road a piece or so. So that's why we're interested. Senator Sahlstrom.
Yes. I lived in St. Paul for many years, and I went by the Ford plant. And I think for those of us on this committee who don't know where the Ford plant is, it's in the middle of a beautiful neighborhood next to the river. And I see I have 90 residents who work, you know, at the Ford plant. I have not heard from any of them on this issue, although I have heard from residents who are concerned that this legislation pass. And I think what makes this particular site different from, say, the Iron Range is that there is such potential, and I would support the legislation in the past where you look at a facility that probably couldn't be used for other things, and this is very, very different, and I think we have great potential. My other concern is that while we wait for 2 years and perhaps other proposals come in, you have to look at your watch and say, well, come back in 2 years. And that concerns me because I think it is a regional issue. And on this committee, we've heard many different proposals of all the different industries that we may be able to expand to. And to have a facility and a site that is prime real estate to not potentially be able to be used for that. At the same time, I really know that I remember the day when the headline said that the Ford plant was going to close, because for those of us who are in the East Metro area, there is a concern because it is part of our community. And I do want to thank Ford for not exiting a quick exit. I think that you've tried to be very responsible. I hope you will continue to do that as this process moves forward. So I do have concerns about the legislation because of just the nature of the site and the fact that I'm not hearing from other important groups and stakeholders that this is the route we should go. At the same time, I acknowledge to Senator Cohen, it's very, very difficult when you have something that's in your community and this happens. And I hope we can be responsive in the future and that you should feel free to come back to the legislature and present your needs. Because our tax here just left the room. But I think that we have to be open to support economic development in this state.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Saltzman, I'd be willing to bet after that speech you start hearing from people. But anyway, the thing I'm just curious about, Ms. Culler, is the United Auto Workers have been talking about, you know, electric Ford Ranger and electric cars and the potential of retooling this plant. Has Ford just dismissed this out of hand as being totally impossible to do, or is there some potential for this?
I think the reality, we used to make an electric Ford Ranger, actually. It was called the EV Ranger back in the 90s, and unfortunately it was not a product that customers embraced. It's not to say that future advanced technology won't be a major opportunity. It just won't be at this particular facility. As I mentioned earlier, gone are the days when you make one vehicle in a plant. It just doesn't happen that way anymore. And so the reality is that, you know, we have taken a look at our plants across the country, and some of the plants that are currently in existence, I'm sure at some point will include platforms that have advanced technology. But to hope that one plant will make a battery electric vehicle or one product is really not the way of the future in the auto industry. And we've learned that from our competitors, Honda and Toyota. I mean, one of the questions that people always ask me, and of course I'm not an expert in this area, but
you know, when I see what our competitors are doing with regards to their economic development plans and bringing facilities to this country, they're siting their facilities in the South, in Tennessee, in Mississippi, and in other areas on greenfield properties because the costs are too great to come into an old brownfields redevelopment site with an old facility that is frankly, obsolete. To retool a facility, it can cost up to $120 million. You know, retooling is a major investment by a company, so it's a major challenge.
Senator Boniff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I too have some concerns over this legislation, but I think, you know, that we also have to be concerned on a national basis of what's happening with the auto industry, and that we are losing, you know, 900 jobs in Minnesota, and we have the potential to have this whole industry not being around anymore for American car makers. They're in deep trouble, and there could be thousands and thousands of jobs lost, and the effect on our national economy is grave. So This is one example of something that's happening all around the country. So my heart goes out to the people losing their jobs, and I want to do everything we can in partnership with the City of St. Paul to make sure they have their jobs. But in the broader context, I also don't feel that it's appropriate to intercede in Ford's efforts to keep themselves alive. And I think that is very important to all in this country, that Ford remain a viable business, and that we have that responsibility as well. I, in talking with Ms. Culler, have heard about the healthcare costs. I know we've all heard about the significant disadvantage the American auto industry has with the high cost of healthcare that we pay. And so I think as legislators, we should be continuing what can we do to reduce health care costs for these companies so that we can allow for a competitive environment? So there's so many different levels that we have a responsibility as state legislators, and frankly, I think, you know, that we perhaps don't have this responsibility. And so I think we should do what we can do to make sure we save the jobs for all of the people in our state and in our country, but I'm not sure that it's in the best interest to move forward with this legislation.
Senator Scheid.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was going to ask Ms. Culler if what Ford has done in other parts of the country. I understand that this is sounds like the first time you've participated with a community in this task force kind of scenario where you're actually part of the planning. But what has happened to the properties? I mean, I've driven through Illinois and Indiana and Ohio, and I've seen closed mobile manufacturing facilities. I've seen them open. I've seen them, you know, busy, and I've seen them just dead. What generally happens with these properties as around the country?
Ms. Culler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator, it just depends on the location of the facility, to be frank. I mean, obviously, some of them are more unique properties, such as the one here in St. Paul, where, as the Senator has described, there's a unique development opportunity here. Some are strictly industrial facilities where you're going to have to find a manufacturer to come in there and take it over. And interestingly enough, unfortunately, the footprints of these facilities are really huge. We closed a facility in Indianapolis, and you know, that facility is over, 200 million square feet. I mean, it's just huge. And we've had buyers come in and say there is no way that any modern manufacturer can take a facility like this and make it economically viable. So we haven't sold a lot of them. I mean, one of the issues is that obviously we're in the process of needing cash pretty quickly, so we'd like to sell them, but it's a slow go in some of the communities where they are strictly industrial properties because they're so large and so obsolete.
Mr. Chairman, it strikes me that this site, first of all, has to be just extremely unique around the country. And you have, is it a hydroelectric power thing with it? And the beauty of the area, I have to think that this is a prime piece of property. And if there's one thing I'm pretty sure of, it's that Ford isn't interested in owning a whole lot of real estate. I mean, that's not their business. It's kind of like people think when banks foreclose, they want property. They don't. You don't want to own They're not in the real estate business. And so I have to think that it would be in their interest to be doing what they could to move that property when the time comes that it's closed. And I don't know if the purpose of the legislation, I've read some things about it, but when I look at the bill itself, it doesn't really say that what you're looking for is another automobile manufacturing plant. I have to think that's not very realistic. If I'm to believe what I read about what's happening in that industry. So I don't know why they wouldn't keep it in saleable. I mean, maybe the key word is operating. But if that's what speaks to then it having to be used, you know, keeping that particular equipment that's unique to that manufacturing process, I'm not sure that I can support that part. I just think that Ford is going to do what's in their best interest here, which I think is going to be in the best interest of the community in the long run, and that's try to find a buyer. And I've got to think, I'm thinking of a place like, oh, I don't know, there's some out in the middle of nowhere in Indiana and even in Illinois. It's just flat farmland, and it's not, and I don't know if they've sold those properties or not, but those are the facilities I've seen that are huge. And I've got to believe that there's probably more than one buyer out there for this, somebody with to put this property to use. And I hope it's not for a park. I did notice that in the city's task force, we're talking, what I thought was rather ironic given its manufacturers' automobiles, we're talking about walking, biking, and transit. But it's sort of a cruel irony to that sentence. But I'm hoping, because I don't think, I mean, who, far be it for me to tell St. Paul they don't need another park, but I think they do want to replace this with something that's going to generate revenue for the community and be positive, generate jobs, good jobs. And so I just really think, members, that that's what Ford is going to do. Even if it's in its own interest, I think it ultimately is in the interest of the community.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, one last comment before you vote.
Senator Tomasoni.
Chairman, because when I listened to Senator Bonhoff, I got the impression that you were worried that Ford is going to have to keep the place open and keep people in there working. And the legislation doesn't say that. The legislation just says that you got to keep the place, you got to keep the heat on, is basically what it says, and keep that plant in a condition that somebody else can move into it. They can sell the plant. The legislation doesn't say you can't sell it. They want to get a new owner or a new operator in there. And I quite frankly don't think that this is drastic legislation, because it doesn't prohibit some of the things that some of the people are saying around here. It's just keep it in a saleable and operable condition.
Mr. Chair.
Okay, I've been notified that we're going up to the floor pretty quick for some votes, or probably not votes, but some floor action anyway. Ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to just address a couple of things that were said here. We have retained Colliers International to serve as a market analyst for the task force, because we wanted to make sure that what they did come up with really was, if you trended out what was happening in terms of manufacturing or housing, et cetera, that we were planning to build something there could actually work. And they represent Toyota and Mitsubishi in all of their real estate transactions in North America. And one of the quotes that they put in their report to us is, speaking frankly, there is no way that the two automobile companies that we represent would take an old plant and fix it up. That's just not the formula that they use. And Sandy Smith, who is the real estate director for Toyota, said that we typically do not use or would not use someone else's plant. We did ask them, though, what is the potential for industrial? They did note that arterial and roadway traffic access to the site should be improved and upgraded before the site becomes viable for light industrial R&D and high-tech use. As you know, it's located on a parkway. It's not particularly close to a freeway, so it's something we need to pay attention to. They noted that there's potential for up to 30 acres or 24% of the site that could be dedicated to high-finished light industrial space. And they thought light industrial, high-tech, medical, manufacturing, R&D, laboratory, fabrication, or business services could be attracted to the Ford site. So that's just some preliminary information that we got in terms of the market and what Colliers at least thinks that we would be successful in attracting to the site.
Okay, any further discussion? Senator Latz.
Mr. Chairman, I served on the city council for 9 years, and we had a Honeywell plant closed down in St. Louis Park. And it was industrial zoned. And we moved in immediately to try to figure out what to do with the site. And Honeywell basically informed us of two alternatives. If we want to keep it industrial, they had a buyer ready to go to do a 24-hour warehouse operation, which would have meant semi-trucks driving through residential areas in St. Louis Park 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
Or we could change the zoning on the site and redevelop it into a mixed-use site, which was the option that we took. But we had the authority as the local zoning authority to make that decision. It's a site that had multiple potential uses. I'm awfully reluctant as the state to take away the local government's authority to control the use of their site. And if I thought that there was a reasonable possibility that it could be reused for a like use, I'd be much more sympathetic. But this is not like a one-use mine. All you can do with a taconite mine is mine taconite. Not gonna have the kind of extensive mixed-use development that's potentially here. So I'm a strong, I'm a labor lawyer. If you will, my firm.
That's all right. Yep.
And I come from a family of laborers and labor union advocates. I'm really torn on this one about trying to preserve the ability of a site to stay a manufacturing site. I just don't see how, with all the balance of things, that's an outcome that we as a state should be trying. Yeah. Should be interfering with at this point.
Okay, Senator Cohn, did you have a quick wrap-up or something? Thank you, folks. It was a good presentation. Yep.
And Mr. Chairman, a couple of comments, but Mr. Qualley wanted to make one other comment and rejoinder. If you
sure.
Be allowed to do so.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, I'll be very brief. I would just like to be on record. This is one labor leader that did not receive an invitation to be on that committee in the mayor's city of St. Paul. But I'd like to testify and put on a different hat, if I may.
Sure.
I'm a resident of the city of Minneapolis. I was chairman of the Calhoun Area Resident Action Group from the mid-1980s over the early 90s in the Uptown area, and came out of the trenches of what was considered a very trendy area of Minneapolis. We had a moratorium in 1988 to 1989. It was not the end of the world. And what led to that, what came out of that, was better planning, better traffic planning, better air and environmental planning. The other thing I'd like to just very quickly submit to you is that right now in Uptown, where I've lived for 25 years, we promised all sorts of condo developments. We're competing with the suburbs, beautiful developments. We are looking at Calhoun Square. That was supposed to be a mega development. And all of a sudden, none of that's happening. And Calhoun Square is for sale by the insurance company that owns it from outstate. And the condo development and residential development has gone flat. And I want to caution you respectfully, committee members and Mr. Chairman, that as we're looking at the golden goose that builds these cities and the tax revenues that we think is going to contribute to these cities, if you build a big residential complex and they don't come, you're going to have yuppies on the street selling kiwis that aren't paying taxes with empty buildings. So I submit to you respectfully that the unfortunate debate that you may have to consider when you vote on this is whether you want to have long-term, good-paying manufacturing jobs versus lower-paying, perhaps one-time jobs, and that the manufacturing base is regional. I would respect to you, Senator, Mr. Chairman, as chairman of a neighborhood group in Minneapolis in the 1980s, I wish we would have had a state moratorium to help us better plan our cities. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, very good. Senator Carlson.
Mr. Chair and members, I wanted to give my perspective on this, too. I've lived a little bit south of that plant all my life, and my babysitter was the operator of the steam plant down on the riverbank. And first time I went through that plant, I was in my probably about 8 or 9 years old.
Back in the 40s?
Back in the 50s.
50s. He was 50s.
Is this a long story?
Yeah.
We're supposed to be upstairs at a little bit here.
It's not a long story. No, but, you know, and I know that that plant was the absolute anchor of that part of St. Paul for many, many years. They made all the glass at one time for all the Ford cars around the nation for a while because the sand underneath the plant was the best sand in the world for glass. They had the huge kiln there that they would crack up the glass every once in a while, and I have some of that glass at my home yet, the big pieces of glass that they break up. I think one of the things that we do have, though, is a period here of change, and this is probably one of those places like Whirlpool on the east side, maybe like 3M on the east side, that has to be replaced because it's obsolete. The plant is obsolete. A new plant needs to be built if one is going to build new cars there. And I think somehow we have to get something new in there, whatever that is. I'm not sure what it is. But I'm not sure if this particular, Senator Latt said, I'm not sure if we want to insert ourselves in the middle of that. But I want to say that what Senator Bonhoff said is really important for us to understand, and that is that automotive assembly is going out of this country as fast as possible, and one of the major reasons is the healthcare costs. I had a particular conversation not too long ago about that, and I looked it up on the internet, and the CFO of GM Canada said that he wants to see Windsor, Canada named Motor City and take it away from Detroit because they're moving their assembly across the border because healthcare is $1,500 a car cheaper there than it is in this country. And what that suggests is that we need to do something about that. We need to take the healthcare costs off of some of these large manufacturers. And this is a particular one and I'm not sure how much that had to do with the Ford decision, but all of these things do have something to do with those kinds of manufacturing decisions. But there's a lot to do, and I think, I don't know if this is it, but we need to do something.
Senator Cohn.
Well, Mr. Chairman, members, let me just make several comments. I'm not immune to the difficulties Ford has had, nor the domestic auto production and manufacturing has had over the last number of years, and the problems obviously continue. This effort is not to maintain Ford as is at all. It's the hope to try to maintain, as Senator Thomasoni has talked about, the viability of trying to maintain manufacturing. Because I think if you look at the efforts we've made in this legislature over the last number of years relative to jobs and economic development, we've tried to put an emphasis on the creation of jobs that are well-paying, jobs that are highly skilled, jobs that contribute significant amounts to the economies of our cities and our state. And this legislation makes an effort to continue that. It does it hopefully in a reasonable way that is not a way that will place a moratorium ad infinitum on any particular area. I don't presume, and Senator Lance, you talked about being involved with development as a former city council member. I've not served on a city council. I've not been involved with development on a day-to-day basis as a city council member has. But over the years of representing a district like all of you have, I have been involved in other kinds of efforts that have been involved with development of areas where there's been a closure of one thing or another. I can think of a very major community fight I had a number of years ago, I think it goes back to my first term in the Senate, that involved a fight with both the city and the school district in St. Paul, where myself and then Representative Ornstein were aligned against those governing bodies, where the effort was going to be made to place initially some significant development. It was going to be housing development. The affected neighborhood wanted to keep it as open space. We were only partially successful for other kinds of reasons in the maintenance of some of the open space. But a decision was, on the part of the area, was to try and maintain the quality of life through that kind of effort. And I think this is a different kind of quality of life. This is a quality of life that involves good-paying jobs that mean a lot to the state of Minnesota. There's been some discussion about development and what would happen if there was a moratorium in place for a short period of time. I think the reality is that you've heard discussion on the part of the people opposed to the legislation that this is going to be an effort where there'll be some concern as to what's going to be there in the future if we don't do this right now. If, in fact, this area is going to be of such significance for development, then that opportunity is going to be there a year from now, 2 years from now, I would argue 10 years from now. This legislation doesn't contemplate that. I also note, and I think I've had a very good relationship over the years with not just Ms. Culler, who's relatively new to her position, I believe, but the predecessors who've served as the governmental relations individuals for Ford, who spent some time in the Twin Cities. And I can only suggest in this instance, it's been difficult. When there was some discussion about the closure of this plant, efforts were made, and I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to go back a decade ago. When there was discussion of the closure at that time, Ford was very forthcoming with not only the legislators, then Representative Orenstein and myself, but the city of St. Paul with the state of Minnesota. There were continual discussions with those governmental units in terms of what should happen, how there would be an effort to maintain the site as manufacturing and as the Ford Motor Company. This time around, it's been somewhat different. All efforts to talk to Ford were not shut off, but it was clear Ford did not have a significant interest in dealing with the attempt to keep this property as a manufacturing facility. The governor went to Detroit, and I know when I talked to him afterwards, as well as the commissioner, there was clearly not a strong interest. It led me to believe that Ford had made up its mind as to what was going to happen. So this is an effort to try to deal with the situation. There's no question, as members of the committee have heard, it's a matter of contention. Some significant differences within my Senate district. I would guess from my representation of this district over the years, my knowledge of the district, the calls and letters I've had relative to this issue, that if you polled the entirety of my Senate district, I'll bet it might be a 50-50 issue, at best maybe 60% of the district in support of this legislation. So this is not something that the Senate district is 100% in support of, but I do think it's an effort, as Senator Tomasoni suggested, to maintain good jobs, good paying jobs, an economy in Minnesota. We hear the rhetoric in this place time and time again about the creation of good jobs. This is such an effort, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Chairman, I think we're ready to vote.
I'll move the bill.
Senator Tomasoni. Tomasoni. Moves that Senate File 607 be recommended to pass and sent to the floor. All those in favor?
Chairman, we go to the Rules Committee.
That's right. Senator Coney, Tomasoni, and forwarded to the Rules Committee. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Chairman's in doubt. All those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed? Motion does not prevail.
Mr. Chairman and members, I know this is a difficult issue, but I thank you for your time.
Okay, the meeting is adjourned, and I believe we're upstairs.
Here doesn't move very well.